Chris speaking. How may I assist you?
Yes, my name is Beverly, and I created a program and starting in 1987. Mm-hmm. Got national recognition, went down to NASA, NBC National News did a special on me. Mm-hmm. Then I came back and started my own 501c3 corporation, non-for-profit, mm-hmm. and the program ran for 27 years. And this is the time when we started. There was no internet. There was no email. There was no nothing. And we advanced it. Of course, the world went on. But then I didn't know this, but this is my legacy. And in the 90s, people started to start doing my program and started taking credit for starting it and being the first ones who started it. Mm-hmm. This is my legacy. And I live in New York State in USA.
Mm-hmm.
And the state legislature wants to acknowledge and honor me. And our senators are possibly considering me getting a medal at the White House in Washington,
okay.
D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But on the internet and WikiLeaks and Britannica, you have people stating they founded this program and this is how they did it, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a minute. I have all the proof. I had 501c non-for-profit corporation in New York State. I had Christy McAuliffe, a national award for creating this program. NBC,
mm-hmm.
National News, Tom Brokaw with Jane Pauley did a national special on me in 1990. I have all this proof of records and legal papers, you know what I mean, and everything. So I put together a web page and also a timeline of everything that happened and with back citations of articles and magazines. The RPI College I used in Troy, New York, which is a national and international college.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the proof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have put it together. I've worked hard. We have a website already now, but it's just a little like the untold story of STEM. And now, like, I'm an international storyteller now. And I've told stories all around the world, India, Australia, Montreal, Canada, U.S., whatever. And I was in the hospital in November with a knee replacement, and I got an email from New Zealand. Said, you know, hey, we would love to hear about you because we understand you're the one who really started the STEM program. And I said, okay. And she says she's part of the London talk radio show that goes around the world, and once a month, besides all the other stories that are told, we interview someone in the world, and we like the way you started it as you lit a fire around the world.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you the name of the program in a minute. But we'd like to interview you so that your story goes around the world, that a third-grade teacher in Troy started a program that is now world known.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the program is STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Well, I'm the one who started it.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, I know. And wouldn't you be a little bit irritated to go on the internet and see these educators from the State Department of Education claiming
mm-hmm.
that they started the first program of STEM in 1992-ish, you know, early 90s, when you
mm-hmm.
were doing it since 1987 and have the legal proof of it?
Mm-hmm. No, we can definitely
right?
create, and I believe you're looking to create.
I don't know what you do. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if I went online. I don't know if I'm supposed to pay for this, or you are part of the wiki, whatever that you
mm-hmm.
help you. I don't know how to apply for this.
Sure.
I've been working on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a website already,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to get sued because if I go. Get down to, we're going to fill out, my lawyers are going to be filling out an application
mm-hmm.
to get this award in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get down there and have someone say, she wasn't the first one on the internet, says these people are. Now,
mm-hmm.
these are all professional educators, and they all have, you know, documentation of educational research and this and that. I have just the legal facts of showing the 501c3 non-for-profit, et cetera. I don't want to get sued. Because they say they really were the first, not me. Does that make sense?
Yes, I can definitely understand that. And I believe you have all the proof that about this, right?
Yes, I do. You know, I'm quite I don't know how they would dispute it. I mean, it was. I have TV shows and mm-hmm. videos and all that stuff. And I don't know if you are a place that you pay to have it done, or can I do it myself and apply? You know, what are the risks of, you know,
I'll break it down simply for you. See, Wikipedia is free for anyone, so anyone can do it if they know of the Wikipedia guidelines and they are following it. It's not written like an AdWord
Hold on. Stop. I'm hard of hearing, and if you talk too fast, this is my problem, not yours.
No worries. I'll go a bit slowly.
Wait a minute. Started talking too fast for me, okay?
And then
people start talking slow, and then they start talking fast, and I have to say, you're talking too fast again. So that you know what I mean? Now, first, who am I talking to?
So you're speaking to Chris. It's Chris Gray. Okay. I'm an administrator at Wikipedia, so almost 17 years now.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just, you know, I'm a 73-year-old retired teacher now, administrator. I went back and got my master's degree because I was told, somebody tried to take my program away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you're only a third-grade woman teacher. We need a real administrator to take over to do this program, basically. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, yeah? Yeah. I made lemonade out of lemon. Next day, I went and registered and got another master's in administration. I ended up with a master's and, thesis was on, my first thesis on collaborative partnerships was I did. So, and then when I got back and NBC did the special, then I got a call from the Engineering Societies of the State of New York and said, can we take your program out of your school and
mm-hmm.
can we make it four counties? So upstate New York and half STEM in four counties. We were the first one, and we did. We formed a board. One year we did it. We were so successful. We applied for a 501c3 non-for-profit corporation. I have all the legal papers to prove it.
Perfect. So
how do I tell these people I'm the one? All I want is them to admit they didn't start it. I did.
Once it's on Wikipedia, so it's for there for everyone to see. So they'll know.
And they can challenge it or sue me. I don't want to get sued at 73 and lose my house.
No. So
my lawyer says we have to figure this out. You don't have a lot of money, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
If they sue you, you're going to be on welfare.
No. So that won't be the case. See, not anyone can just post on Wikipedia. So you need proper references, you need articles. So basically what we do is we speed up that process. So we work with a couple of other administrators and editors, and what we do is, now normally if you try to do it yourself, let's suppose that you write an article and you submit it. So what happens is it takes 3 to 6 months for it to be reviewed, and if it is approved, it gets published. If it is not, it just simply gets denied and you're at square one again. Now, basically with us, we follow all the protocols. We publish the articles to support your Wikipedia page, and then we publish it and we send it to another administrator for approval. And all of that process, which takes 3 to 6 months, it is approved within 4 to 5 weeks and your page goes live. So,
am I what? 5 weeks and it goes live. Now, how much does this cost? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Are you going to charge me?
This is a paid service. So basically, by paying a fee, you are jumping the queue. So we do charge you. So this is a separate entity. Now, we are administrators on Wikipedia. However, this is a separate business that we basically, you're just skipping the queue and the time and all the effort of writing it yourself and then wondering whether it will be accepted or not. So we provide a guarantee that the page would go live and it would stay up. And basically, you have all the say in it. So what happens is, once you're on board, we assign a project manager that goes back and forth with you between the editors and you. So we share a test draft with you. So you can take a look at it, see if everything is according to your likings. Let's suppose you want to add any information or you want to remove any information. So we can go back and forth on that as many times as you like. Only once you're satisfied with it, we'll go ahead and send it for publishing, and within 4 to 5 weeks, your page is going to go live.
Okay. I still have people to read it, the facts and stuff, and verify everything I have, although the STEM community that worked for me. Okay, so that's the last thing I have to do. How much does this cost? I need to know the money. I'm not a very rich person.
Mm-hmm. So we have three different packages. So I'll break them down for you simply. So we have a basic package, which just includes a Wikipedia page, and we offer 3 months of maintenance on it. So maintenance
What does that mean?
I'll explain each and everything. So maintenance is basically us monitoring the page 24/7, making sure there is no any moderation made to the page. There are
no what? No what?
There's
I didn't hear, you just talked too fast there for me. No something or other, you said.
Okay.
No something to the page.
On
What's
Wikipedia.
The word?
On Wikipedia, other people can edit the page or request changes to the page. So we will be monitoring the page.
How can they do that?
Let me guide you. So Wikipedia is free for everyone, right? Now, certain times people can request edits to the page. So we will be monitoring the page. If there's any unauthorized changes or edits requested to the page, we will stop them. And we will revert it back to the original. So that is what we'll do. Does that make sense?
I'm just writing this down. That's all. Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So basically that is what it is. Other times, Wikipedia also requests changes to the page certain times. They want to make moderation to it. So They want to make moderation to it. So
Wait, stop. Moderation?
Yes.
What's the word you're saying there?
Let me break it down simply. So in our terms, we call it moderation. So basically, Wikipedia asks you to update the page with certain edits. So let's say if there's any piece of information, they want you to back it up by an article. So we link those articles to those edits. So that is what we call moderation.
Hold on a minute. That's one of the problems I have. Now, let me just articles.
Mm-hmm.
There are some citations, but mostly I've been going through what I've been doing. I've been working hours on this, okay? And let me just... Okay. What I did, the development of the STEM in the United States, okay, what I did was a timeline, okay? But the problem is our timeline, all the proof, this was in the 80s. There was
mm-hmm.
no articles on STEM, nothing.
So,
we created it. No, wait a minute. Let me get – I have, like, the NBC special. I have the awards that I got, like the Christian McAuliffe Award. I can show them, this is the award, this is where it was, here are the pictures of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have TV and magazine, like RPI Magazine, Russell
mm-hmm.
Sage Magazine, their colleges, talking about the program, okay? I have TV interviews. I have newspaper articles. I have all the media stuff. That you know, I have everything dated.
Mm-hmm.
And where it came from, like Knickerbocker News, currently now is Times Union newspaper. I have everything dated and showing in any type of media or magazine what year it was. Here's
mm-hmm.
the article. And you know, and the articles were written by people from the colleges and this and that. That's
mm-hmm.
what I have. I don't have those educational articles on STEM because there wasn't any because we were the first ones doing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What?
So, if I may cut you off, so those articles that you have, those are perfect. So what we'll do is we'll convert those articles to online as well. So we'll publish those articles on relevant industries websites. So we will use that, and we will link those to your Wikipedia page, the ones that you have. So those would be credible enough to support your Wikipedia page.
This is what I understand somewhat. But, for example, Okay, so I listed everything by years, and then I put part two was history of the Christy McCall Award, so they understood how important that award was, okay, mm-hmm. and how I got it. And then disseminating the STEM in elementary school 14 in counties in New York, that's part three, how we disseminated it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, newspaper clippings and all that stuff to show how it was disseminated, and you know what I'm saying? And then I started the timeline again, 1989 and 90, things that happened in 90
mm-hmm.
that really started about four counties wanting to do it. And then, then the formation of how we formed a board and how we went to a 501c3, corporation. And then I have the application of the 501c3, the official New York
mm-hmm.
State certificate you get to prove you're a court non-for-profit, and then the constitution of the, we had to do a constitution and all that stuff, and then we had to have a first board meeting and all that stuff. And we have all that, we have all the proof. And then we finally, the internet came up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they started, so we, had things on the internet, you know. And
mm-hmm.
then I had a conclusion, okay. A third grade, I don't know if you like this, something like this, a tiny third grade program to help a teacher learn,
mm-hmm.
we don't need it, to help teachers learn, meet the new requirements of the state of New York was requiring to teach her students, well, it was required by the state education department, grew into a world-known program. The first STEM program in School 14 and then in the upstate counties in New York State tried to meet the needs of students and educators and to inspire students to consider careers in the fields of STEM. There is an expression, it takes a village to raise a child. Ms. Schwartz says it takes a community to educate a child. The STEM program does exactly that. The first STEM program ending up lighting a fire around the world. Today, a variety of STEM programs around the world are inspiring students to consider careers in science, technology, engineering, math. Then I listed all my awards, and then pictures. I have tons of pictures. I'm a hoarder of every. I've just kept everything, even the bank statements of our treasury. That's how detailed I am, you know. And then I have the movie and a slideshow. But I know you have to put this. You have to connect it to YouTube, correct?
It's not really necessary, no. So
we would like that, or we want a website showing all this.
We can do that for you as well, so that is not a problem.
Oh, okay, because we want people to be able to read this, but then have it connect to YouTube to see the movie of NBC and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we want them to see other things that I have, and all the people, all my friends from STEM, really feel like we've all been slighted by not getting the credit that everyone worked so hard for all those years.
No,
you know what I mean?
They definitely deserve that. So from what I see, there isn't a Wikipedia page about it.
There's nothing about it. I never thought of doing it until people said, hey, Beth, there's people out there claiming they did STEM. What are we going to do about it? And I said, what do you mean? And I went on and said, holy mackerel. You know, that's my legacy. And, I don't have long to live. I want to, and I also, my goal is to, people are starting to now call me because I'm an international teller now, and I talk about STEM and things that happened in it, and they love the stories. I'm going to get my own YouTube channel or whatever and talk about the stories that everyone loves around the world already. And now I'm starting to get requests to do high school, keynote speaking at graduation,
mm-hmm.
things like that, a talk show in New York City,
mm-hmm.
That's on TV. You know, people are starting to say, and when this international stories coming out on the radio out of South London and going around the whole world, and they have, I can't believe they have a tremendous audience. I'm going to start getting contacted, and I wouldn't mind going on what's his name, Jimmy Kimmel or any of those, or Oprah Winfrey might get hold of it and say, hey, this girl kind of beat the odds against someone trying to take over and saying you're only a third grade teacher. And I ended up that program, they went on and tried to do my program and it failed, and I was successful, and now it's well known. Short story, you know what I mean, is I had a lot of being a woman and a third grade teacher. How can a third grade teacher that knows about nothing about science, I don't even know how to put a nail in the wall still, you know, start a program like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got a private school invitation to go to this very exclusive private school to talk to the school. I mean, everyone's starting to contact me, and I'm not even on WikiLeaks, or I mean, not even on the, I have a web page. I want to just give you that a shortcut to get to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Where is it? Hard copy. I have it here. Oh, I know where it is. It's on top, the very top. Okay. Here it is. It is. And this is something I made with a teacher an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And https two dots, colon,
mm-hmm.
two forward slashes, ready? R as in rat, B as in boy, dot, G as in government, Y as in yellow, forward slash. L is in lollipop, M is in Mickey Mouse, N is in no, or never.
Sorry, forward slash, can you repeat that?
Wait a minute. R is in rat, B is in Beverly, dot, G is in good, Y is in yellow, forward slash. No, it's RB dot, yeah, GY, forward slash. L is in lollipop, M is in Mickey Mouse, N is in never, 44Z. HTTPS, a colon, two slashes, and then RB dot GY slash LMN 44Z. And the website that was made in Israel on Wix site, it was a friend of mine who got it in free. I don't have to pay for anything. And they're doing it as just a favor. We got that out. But then I didn't realize, the STEM slash, whatever it is, people always screwed it up and it was hard to remember. So I had the woman from New Zealand said, I can make it a shorter one for you, and she did.
No, I do see. I do see your Facebook linked over here. I see an O for Markman LinkedIn. I see Alanis Wilson.
I wrote everything with this engineer who helped me. She was like an intern to this guy in Israel who runs a lot of companies there. He does storytelling, and he comes to America and does a lot of the storytelling in America. So that we met and started talking, and he heard my stories. He says, I can't find your website. I said, I don't have one. He goes, I can have one of my interns help you make one. And he did that last summer. But you can go to press if you want on top. Okay, yes. Are you going to press for a minute?
Yes, I do see NBC Nightly News. I do see
that. Press it and watch it for a few. About, okay.
Breaking down the barriers of science.
Okay, you'll see me in a minute. She interviews me. I was 125 pounds heavier. I've lost weight. And I'm not a brunette. I'm a blonde now. That was when I was like 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see me yet?
Yes, I do.
But I'm telling the truth.
Right, it's all there. So, we can't simply use all of this information.
And keep going down. You'll see. And there's one tricked into learning. There's 1989. We were doing STEM then. And go back to the beginning and how to start a program. Well, the other thing is, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
The reason is there's plenty of STEM programs now, 7 through 12, but there's not programs a lot on the elementary level that gets the kids excited to maybe take these programs in the future and consider them as careers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple to have an elementary teacher just do it in her classroom or do it in their school. It doesn't have to be an organized STEM program that's run by high educators and this and that. But it could be little, just in a school or a classroom, to get these kids excited about STEM. And that's what our class, we started on the elementary. We didn't start 7 through 12. We started, and then it grew. Everyone on the 7 through 12 wanted to do it too. And they would call me and say, how do you start your program if you don't have any grants or this or that? We had no grants. We contacted people in the area, and they donated money, or the other companies came in and did everything for us.
Right.
And that's what I talk about, and people from all over the world now contact me. I have a classroom. I need to do something, and I don't know how to teach science. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple, but nobody thought about it.
Right. It does make sense. So.
And to see the sample directory, how we did a directory, who we are book. Look at the Who We Are booklet. That'll help you one more thing. And then I'll stop talking.
Right. I do see all that. I've been all the, so I saw the meeting and philosophy as well, program history. So, yeah.
And
there's a sample directory and Who Are We booklet.
Right. And I named it The Untold Story of STEM because no one in the world knows how it really started but me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think of doing anything until people...
It doesn't have to stay that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm now internationally known around the world. I mean, I was shocked when somebody was emailing me from New Zealand because she had heard me in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that is she goes, there's this radio station in London. So I let her talk, and I said, oh, I've been on that before already. But I did a fairy tale with a girl in Canada. We did a back-and-forth thing. I said, oh, yeah, they called, that guy called me already to do a story because he had heard about me also, too. Well, I do other things besides STEM. I do fairy tales and real-life stories and stuff like that. And guess who I met once?
Who?
David Ballard from the Titanic, who found the Titanic. I got invited to do the New York State Engineering Society convention. That's once a year, and I live in the capital, Albany, New York. So they invited me to go down because I could get there and be a keynote speaker. I'd never keynote speaker in my whole life. This was 1992. And I walk on stage, and they told me to go sit on the stage and sit next to that man on the stage. And I sat next to him, and I said, this guy looks familiar. Well, my class had just done an ocean unit, and we had studied about the Titanic. So I said, who the hell is he? And I introduced myself, and he said, oh, I'm David Ballard. I go, oh, from the Titanic? And he goes, yes. And he goes, yes. I said, why are you here? He goes, oh, I'm keynote speaking. I'm going, holy shit. Here I am, the first time I'm talking to anybody, you know. And what happened was they asked me to go first. So I went, talked about STEM, how I create all that junk, created it. And then they said, okay, and everyone applauded. There's 1,000 people in the audience, and they were all at tables eating, you know, for lunch for afterwards. And then they said, we have an award to give you, Beverly. And they said, we don't usually do this because it's a very competitive award, but we're giving you the Engineer of the Year Award for New York State. Because of everything you've done to really help us, you know, whatever. And I said, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. And the first non-engineer to get the award. So anyways, then he talked, and he was marvelous. And then we sat down at the same table, and all these big CEOs were asking and talking to him, asking questions. I'm sitting there. No one's talking to me. I'm only a third-grade teacher, right? The food came, and everyone started eating. And I said to David, David, I have a question. That you might never have had, did anything really scary or, like, spooky happen when you were trying to find the Titanic and you found it that day? He says, no one's ever asked that question. I said, I know it's a humanistic question.
Right.
He said, well,
I'll
tell you, come closer. I don't want anybody to hear this story and have to get into a conversation with it. There's a light that shines on the ocean floor. And it was his turn to be looking out the window. And they had seen all this stuff on the ocean floor that were in the same era, you know, like trucks and dishes and this and that, stuck on the floor. And there's a stream that goes around forever, he goes, and when things fall down, when a ship sinks, they get into that stream, and it goes around and around for the rest of the eternity. And all of a sudden, you know, things were floating by, whoosh, in the window. There was a doll's head, porcelain, and the eyes went up and down and up and down. And all of a sudden, I got a feeling that a little girl had been holding her doll going down, and somehow the doll's head had been, off the body of the doll and was going around forever, watching possibly, that little girl who had sunk. And I wished the doll's head went away.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later, whoosh, the doll came back, and this time blinked once, like, now you got it. Real people died here, and wished away quickly. And then, as the doll wished away the second time, there was the Titanic behind it. Well, my kids are going to love this story. He says, oh, okay. And so he wrote a little letter to the kids and signed his name for me to bring in. And I said, I have one question, more question. Were there any skeletons still left around the Titanic? He says, oh, no, they dissipated years and years ago. I said, okay. So I went the next day and I told my kids the story. And at the end, Mr. Schwartz, I have a question. And I said, yes. And what do you think he asked? Were there any skeletons?
Right.
That's a true story. I've had experiences. You wouldn't believe the people I've met, the famous people and the things they've told me. That's just one of them. So those are the types of stories I tell around the world.
Right. And we can definitely put all of this on your Wikipedia page as well.
Right. Or YouTube channel. I want to do my own YouTube story channel. But money. Okay. So that, okay, keep going at three packages. We only got to one.
Right. So first package, just a basic Wikipedia page and a maintenance. So apart from that, the second package is a bit more detailed. So it has Wikipedia page. It has 6 months of maintenance. It has a Google Knowledge Panel. It has Google Knowledge Panel. So
what kind? Wait, say that slowly. I have never heard of this. Google, spell it.
Right, Google Knowledge Panel. So
knowledge. Wait a minute. Remember. Okay, I got it. I understand what you're saying now. I don't have my hearing aids in. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it is basically if someone writes your name on Google, so you would appear with your pictures, with a small about section. Quick info. So do you have a computer open in front of you?
Yes.
So write a name of any famous celebrity or your favorite author or...
Well, I just lost the page. Hold on. How about me? Maybe it'll come up. Hold on. Let me see. I go on Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to lose this. Wait a minute. Let me go on... What is that? Okay. I'm going on Safari because I don't want to. I might have to raise this money. Beverly Schwartz Stem. Stem. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Community. Schwartz Stem Community. Okay. Okay, Beverly Schwartz is an American behavioralist. I always get her.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that is what I'm getting her over here as well. So simply put, if you put in your name, you would come up apart from Beverly Schwartz. So just like her, you see a small about section. So that would be having your information over there, your pictures showing up if you want. So... That is what a Google Knowledge Panel.
Oh, look at what did show up. Videos. I see some of my videos. See that? Tales from the Collection, Beverly Schwartz, Always Room for One More. That's at the Albany Institute of History and Art.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See that? It did come up before her.
Right.
I don't know why I'm on. You see that? You see, videos came up first?
No, from on my end, it isn't showing up like that because it's different on everyone's end. So since
okay.
you're on your computer, so you use it more frequently, so that is why. But for...
Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay. So I'm on YouTube. If somebody said storytelling, my name, I come up a lot because I
mm-hmm.
talk around the world.
So that is basically something that would be useful if you are looking to put yourself out there.
Right.
We will publish an article as well, linking all of those articles that you have on your website. So that is included in there as well. Now, apart from the first and second, I wouldn't suggest going to the third plan. It is a bit more expensive, and it has a bit of other services, which I don't think it's a requirement for you. Either the
yeah.
basic package or the startup package would suit your requirements.
What's it called, the second package? I didn't hear it. You talk too fast there.
Mm-hmm. So in the basic, right. In the basic
package. When's basic, and what's number two?
So basic is just a Wikipedia page, and it has 3 months of maintenance. Right. So
I didn't hear the name of the type of page it is, though. You said it too fast for me.
It's a simple page. Your information out there.
Oh, wait a minute. Number one is the basic. Number two is a simple page?
It's number two is startup.
Startup?
Yes.
Say it slow. Start?
Startup package.
Startup package. That's what, okay, I get. Okay. And what do you mean by do it for so many months? What happens after so many months? There's another charge?
No. So it is completely optional after that. At times it isn't required. So it is up to you. If you want us to keep maintaining the page, we can. However, it is rarely required to renew it.
Okay, rarely do. Okay. But, so basically what happens if Wikipedia says, no, we don't agree with you, not enough evidence or this or that,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to put it in. We're going to stick
mm-hmm.
to what we have.
So that is why we're there for you. So we will be publishing everything and guaranteeing that it is published and it goes live. So we will be meeting all of the requirements.
I get it. I'm trying to think of something. I'm looking to see if I have it here. Okay. There's an article. It's development of STEM in the United States in the early 2000s. The United States of discipline, whatever, rising above the gathering storm. A report in the U.S. You know, they have all these real educational articles. And Judith Ramley, the assistant director of education and human resources, and human rearranged the words to form the word STEM. I was using STEM in the 80s.
Right. So we can simply just put a Wikipedia page for you, and that would be out there. So, obviously that would simply be the truth.
Say that again, the last sentence?
So
simply?
Be the truth.
What? Say it slowly.
Simply be the truth.
Simply be the?
Truth. True.
Spell it. Truth. T-R-U-T-H?
That is correct.
So with maybe showing everything, that kind of knocks you down below me.
Yeah, they will be down below you, so you will be coming up on the search.
As the first person who did it.
That is correct.
And what happens is she says, she rearranged the letters to have STEM. I'm livid.
That's not true because we have...
She's a great teacher and she's the head of a federal government education and she took it?
No, that wouldn't be the case. That would not be possible.
things like this have happened before?
To you?
To anybody.
I mean, in the last 10 years that I've published pages over here, so nothing such controversial has happened.
Nobody's going to sue me.
That is correct. No one's going to sue you.
I hope so. Okay, let's get down to the money, because I right now I just barely make my bills on my retirement. You know, I might have to get a fund me page.
Right. I mean,
you might have to help me develop a fund me page.
So let's see, our basic, the first package, that starts at $750. That is our basic. So, I mean, if it is a funds problem, we can go with a basic. That would get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Or the second package, that's $1,500.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't go down to the third one then.
No, I'm not even going to talk there. I'm going to have to talk. Now, I have to get all, you see, I'm still doing the timeline and get finished. I found I'm getting a, hold on, I have this. Okay, this is, okay, after I do the timeline and the sections, which I told you about, I'm doing awards, I'm getting pictures to use, and then I have, like, you know, part one, you know, showing the first people that did it, you know, with me. And number two, the Engineer Society's talk at the Century House. You know, I mean, I show the natural progression, and I have the pictures and the quarterly and all that proof that that's happened. The Christy McAuliffe Award, I have the ceremony, I have the agenda, I have the letter from, you know, the government, I have the application, I have to get it. I mean, I have everything. And I want to make sure that all of this, you know, first board meeting, I have a picture of it, you know, the Constitution, all that stuff, you know what I mean? I haven't finished writing it yet. But it says, I plan to show pictures and various articles about STEM from various types of media events and articles in various magazines. And the citations will document the year and who published it, like newspapers and magazines. And I have the following that can be put on the site. But you can't find some of this stuff. They're probably archived in the newspapers and this, that. NBC movie, we have a slideshow we want to put on. We have a movie that a fifth grade teacher made of her kids doing the program besides just me, you know. We have a STEM reception, pictures of board members, you know, the public, politicians, you know, coming and talking. And we have our document of the 501c3, the directory, the booklet, everything, pictures of mentors working in classrooms, fairs. We did science fairs. We did receptions. We did everything. And we can tape and put on our website some of us who's just talking about their STEM experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm missing anything from the I just hoarded everything in boxes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and they've been in my basement for years. That is where our project manager would come in and assist you. So all of that information that you have, they will assist you.
Hold on. Let me call this person, whoever it is, back. Just a minute. I don't know who it is. Hello? Who's this? OP? Yes, I do. I'm on the other phone on the internet. Was it Wikipedia that I'm talking to right now? Hold on, Mr. Wikipedia, okay? Hold on. Yes, I'm just about to get off the phone. Would you like me to call you back? Yes, I think that would be fine. The mint thing, I just finished a half a gallon of it, so you're right on target. Okay, I really look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, okay? Okay, I went out and got the chicken this morning, all right? Okay, you take care. I look forward to seeing you. I'm sorry I can't talk right now, okay? Thank you for understanding. Take care. Bye-bye. Hello. Sorry about that.
Yes. No worries. I'm still here.
Okay. You want to come for dinner tomorrow night? No.
I believe you already have company tomorrow.
Yes, I do. I do.
Perfect.
I went to the rabbi's house last Friday night, and there was this guy sitting in front of me, and he just seemed to like to talk to me, so we're having dinner.
So, I mean, you already have your plates full tomorrow, so.
Yeah. It's going to be snowing here. Where are you living right now?
I'm currently in Kelly, California.
Oh, well, We're going to have another snowstorm tonight and tomorrow. And it's going to be 2 degrees out in the morning. So we're a deep freeze. Okay, yeah. Anyways, do you think this is worth doing?
I mean, definitely. I mean, if someone has a history or a legacy, I always
if it goes
this.
On, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's not being a good listener. I should not interrupt.
No worries.
There's a Britannica. Is that worth, if it goes on yours, will it go on Britannica's automatically?
We can put it there as well if you want.
Is there a cost?
I mean, we can simply just put it there. It's not that difficult. See, it's difficult to be on Wikipedia, but on Britannica, it's not that difficult. So we can simply just copy and paste that information over there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to get it out. And, you know, I have never earned a penny off of doing any of this. In STEM, we were all volunteers, including me. And I never got a penny. I got $30 if I tell storytelling at some events, and that's contributions of the audience, and they divide it among the tellers. So I've gotten about $30. But I've never earned a penny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And nobody in STEM had a salary, except for two part-time women who helped do some typing on our computers. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was still working full-time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So,
what were you
saying? Right. So it's doable.
So how do I get back in touch with you?
The same number you just reached over here, so Monday to Friday.
Say the number and your name. I'm writing this down.
Chris Gray.
KRISGREY. Let me get your web page in front of me again and move it up so I can see it. And it's 1-888 I call and I ask for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
can
this
I
ask for
mine?
I'm sorry?
You want my number for now?
Sure. Please go ahead.
I'm on my home phone. I think my cell phone would be charged for the long distance phone call. I don't have money on my charge.
I can give you a call with my number. That's not an issue. We have work numbers as well.
Okay. My home number is the one I'm on now. It's land only.
It's 518-270-8270.
Yes. Here's
Perfect.
My cell.
Go ahead.
It's also my text. 518-424-2863. 4-2-4-2-8-6-3.
And you spell my name.
2863. Now you have me confused.
4-2-4-2-8-6-3.
Right. Oh, let me get my. Okay. I'm a very lucky person. I use Apple, and I have Apple Health and stuff. So when I need help, I just call them, and they tell me what to do, and then I put it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of the work done for you. You know.
Right. I just sent you a text with my name.
Okay. So that is your. It says report is junk. No. So it's just Chris Gray. So now, 02. Oh, I see. This is another number.
Right. So these are all company-provided numbers. So
yeah.
This is my personal work number, and this is the one that you're dialing is our office number.
I get it. Right. That's the office number. Okay. Well, if you get commission or whatever off of this, I want to make sure you get it because you've just spent a lot of time with me. You know. And I always say those who help you deserve whatever if you're going to, you know what I mean?
Right, definitely.
You know, but I have to call some of the STEM people, and they're all in their 40s, 50s, 60s now. Some have died. A lot have died. It's been since the mid-80s, you know what I mean? So that's what, how many years ago is from 87 is what?
I mean, it's almost, let me see.
Over
here.
40 years, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I had RPI students, and I'm still in touch with one came for Christmas dinner this year, and he's already raised two kids that are out of college, and had one divorce, remarried, and he was also on the board, the first board with this guy from Randy from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're all grown up now. They're not, but I have pictures of them when they were RPI students in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And in the boardroom. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely cool, right?
Yes. And can I tell you one other thing? And then
sure,
I will say goodbye. When I won the award, David Lowe, an astronaut who went to RPI, was sent up to my school to announce I won. And I knew he was coming just to see the program, so we blasted off those rocket ships.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he was leaving, I'll see you down in Kennedy Space Center for the award ceremony.
Wow.
And I said, what award ceremony? Nobody had told me. He goes, oh, there's an award ceremony, with all the other winners. One person from each state represented was kind of come down. So it wasn't just me who got it. Other people got it. But it was, I was the winner from New York State. He goes, I have a special favor to ask you when you get down there. And he wouldn't tell me. I said, okay. I went down there, and I went to the award ceremony, walked in, and there he was. He goes, oh, I've been looking for you. I said, oh, because I'd like to bring you to a table I want you to sit at. So he brings me over, and he introduces me to Grace, Christy Nicola's mother from Maine had come. And this was, he goes, this is her first time back since her daughter's spaceship went up and exploded. And I said, oh, this is his favor. He wants me to, calm her down, right, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lovely talk during lunch. And I thought, and they were going to do all these other programs of teachers telling teachers what they did and won for. And he said, he comes over, goes, I have a special, I have been given special permission to go and give you a private tour of the back place of Kennedy Space Center where we don't take people.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have to have special permission. Would you ladies like to join me? And right away I go, oh, yes. I don't know if she wanted it, but I did. And anyway, we went. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but it was hilarious. Like squirrel, they had extension cords in an igloo where they blasted off the rocket ship. They had all the computers and stuff there. And when they blasted, as they blasted it off and would go into their countdown, they'd have a man look, because if the squirrels out there got the extension cords loose, they had to run out and reconnect them and run back before the spaceship launched or wouldn't launch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd go, squirrel man, he'd run out. And they put the bathrooms outside the door of this igloo thing. And so when they did do a launch the first time, what happens if you had to go to the bathroom? Because they'd lock the doors for 48 hours because the fuel comes down from the rocket ship after it blasts off. You don't know how long, it was the first time, they didn't know how long it would take to get down. He had to make do because they couldn't get out to the bathrooms, right? They were outside.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the tour, he goes, now I have very special permission. As you see, we're driving on the side. There's railroad tracks. And that's where we take the rocket and bring it to the launch pad, and then we elevator it up where it's going to launch. And I have special permission. We're going to stand on the launch pad. Well, she turned white. Like, this is the first time she was back, and now she's going to stand on the launch pad. Grace, Chrissy McCullough's mother. So I said, maybe this is the real favor, to have someone else with him on the launch pad with her. Well, right? Things are making sense now to me. So we get there, and it's like a big football field, and we walk up the cement ramp, and it gets windier as you go up and up. It took us about 15 minutes to get up. And there we are, the three of us, standing on the launch pad, and we're all looking up. Now, my superintendent in 1985 had asked me, he called me in, I thought I was in trouble, and he says, I like your STEM program. See, I really started in 85, but I have no documentation for it, in your classroom. And I here is an application to become the first astronaut in space, and they are to have a program that they think they can disseminate across the U.S., which could be, really set, science, technology, engineering, and math, as you call it, on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the application, and I said, thank you, I'll consider it. And I went back to my kitchen table at home for 3 weeks. It sat there. And you know what?
What?
I didn't want to die in space, and I just didn't have the courage to do it. So I never filled it out, never told anybody. And yet I'm standing next to a woman whose daughter had the courage. to leave a family and kids and the community. And she got picked because of her program to disseminate it after she got back. And instead, she was killed. And she had the courage. And I saw tears coming down her face, and she had her hands wrapped around her stomach. And I said, "Grace, would you like some time alone up here?"
Mm-hmm.
And she knew what I was saying, and she just nodded. I said, "We'll meet you down at the end of the path. Take your time." And the astronaut looked at me and smiled. He knew why he had picked me. But you know what I mean? Because
right.
of the way I was at school 14, you know, Hamish means homey and loving. So we walked down, and he went back to the car, and I'm watching her way up there like a little lady talking to her daughter and moving her hand. She was talking to her daughter and probably saying goodbye to her for the first time. And then about 20 minutes later, she walked down, and I was getting a little worried because how long she was taking. And halfway down, she stopped. She turned around and looked up again at the launch pad like a last goodbye, and she threw her daughter a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
She turned around and came towards me, and as she came, she looked, came right up to my nose and gave me the biggest mother hug she's ever won. She had finally said goodbye to her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She stepped back, and I held my hand out, and she took it. And we walked away in silence. It was a moment in time. That's my Christy McCullough story.
Wow.
And that's a true story.
That's definitely something.
Yeah, and that's what I want to put on YouTube, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, you know what I mean? Is I have some good stories to tell about this whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's just two of them. And you've liked David Ballard and you've liked Christy McCullough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
That is something that we can definitely put up there.
Yeah, I mean, I have them on, I'll redo them, I'll retape them for you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But because when I tape them on shows, you make little mistakes here and there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So
but
we have proofreaders that can go through it and fix all the mistakes. So usually in the drafts, it's really grammatically, it's incorrect, but the final product that's polished, there are no grammatical mistakes. Everything is basically the cherry in the cake.
And when I send it in, I'm going to have quite a few proofreaders anyways before you.
Mm-hmm.
I want everything correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many people I'm still in deep friends. I've known them now for over 50 years now, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
When I make a friend, they stay for life. You know?
Right.
So I'm a true friend, Chris. So your parents raised you well. You were a good listener.
Oh, thank you. I try to be. I mean, it is part of my job. So, I mean, I have to listen to what the client wants and then deliver that.
Very nice. Well, you know, you're a good listener. Sometimes I've learned you have to really listen to the end of the person and then try to interpret what they were really trying to reach out and tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
Wikileaks, I have two children's books that I've kind of written as
mm-hmm.
well, and it came from the classroom too. Is there any way you don't help to publish them, do you? But if I get a good name, then the publishers would recognize me and then maybe want to publish my books, or if like I went on Jimmy Kimmel or some other talk shows, then that would probably help me open up doors to get it published, correct?
Right. So we do have a publishing house as well.
You do?
Yes,
okay.
We do. So we work directly with Penguin Book Writers. So
I know Penguin. Yeah.
Right. So we can connect you. I can connect you with them as well if you're looking to publish the books. It is, again, it is a different territory. It is a bit costly.
That's it. But if you're a well-known person,
right.
You can go to other publishing companies and you can just have it published knowing that my name is out there because of what we're going to do. And you know what I'm saying? You don't have to go from company to company to try to show them the book, they're going to say, you know, they can just see the story taped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I had this little boy who loved Marines, and he would bring little Marine soldiers in and play with them, and I'd confiscate them and put them in a box, and at the end of the year, I called it a June box, and at June, he got everything I confiscated,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to be a Marine. And one day, he went up to the window. It was a rainy day, and he saw that his dog got loose. Okay, let me start over for a second.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up graduating, going into the Marines, and fought in the Gulf War, and he became my pen pal with my class. He visited us in his uniform before he went into the Marines after he graduated. He met my new class in September,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we started being pen pals, and he made a movie, and he took pictures of people that he was working with and at the boat and him in his uniform, and he shared his feelings about the Gulf War, and he got some very personal things, he said, about having to maybe fight and kill someone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got to leave, and he came home, and guess what? He visited my classroom, and he walks in with his uniform, and we all came, stood up and saluted him as he walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the back table, and he saw the food and the gifts we had, and we had his letters posted up all over the wall that he sent us, and pictures, and the parents were all there, and you know, everyone was, it was like an honor for him to be back in the same classroom. And I had bought some little Marines for him, you know. And mm-hmm. he went over to the table, and there was a sharpener on the wall in the window looking out. And he goes, "Miss Schwartz, remember Rags?" And I said, "How can I forget? I almost got fired from my job." And
wow.
he goes, "I know. I almost got expelled." Now, all of a sudden, the parents and teachers, they're more interested in that story than his Marine story.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the story of Rags, where he got loose. He saw his dog. Oh, my God, it was a rainy, muddy day. I said, "Go get your dog and bring him in the room, and we'll figure out how to get him home." So he goes, and he drags the dog in, and the dog's wet and muddy, and he comes into the room with Jimmy and shakes, and we get all filled with mud all over that floor, all over us. So now, and have you ever smelled wet dog here? My room stunk. And he goes, "Well, Ms. Schwartz, how are we going to get my dog home now?" I said, "I haven't thought that far yet."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Is your mom home? Go call your mom." Now, it was 75 maybe, and we only have 3 phones, the nurse, the principal, and the secretary. I said, "Go to the secretary's office. Don't let her hear you talk. Call your mom and tell her you'll meet her on the side of the school." He goes, "Okay." So that's what he does, long story short. And he comes in the room, and he goes, "My mom will meet me on the side." I said, "Great." So he takes the dog, and he directs the dog. It's all muddy down the stairs. I'm like, "I hope nobody notices." And he sits there. Well, guess what? The bitch of the secretary, I can't say that, the secretary overheard him talk. And guess what she did? She went and told the principal. We had a dog in our room. So he's sitting on the side of the school. He had to go down the stairs, and there's a window. And I know I can see him, but you know, you have to look to see him and the dog sitting waiting for his mom. And all of a sudden, we're all sitting there, like the room is smelling, and we tried to wash the floor, dry the floor, and it just made it more muddy. So I knew I had to go borrow a mop at lunchtime and mop up the, you know. The door opens, and I thought it was Jimmy, and it was the principal, Frank DeFrank, and that was his real name. And he goes, "I hear you have a dog in this room. I know you have a dog. I smell dog." And he goes, and he opens the closet doors. He looks in the corner. He goes, "Where are you hiding this dog? And that one kid goes, "We don't have a dog in our room." I said, "No, we don't have a dog in this room." He goes, "Oh, I'm going to find that dog, and you're all in trouble, especially Miss Schwartz. I'll talk to you later." And he goes out the door, slams the door, and he doesn't go down to the left where Jimmy's down the stairs. He goes to the right. I'm going, "Oh, my God." And then, so there's silence. You could have heard a pin drop in the room. And then all of a sudden, the door opens again, and it's Jimmy. "My mom got the dog. We saved Rags." And everyone burst down in cheers. And I'm going, "Oh, my God, I'm in trouble, though, now." Well, you know, and then one little boy says, "Miss Schwartz is going to get fired." Miss Schwartz, another girl, "She's in real trouble. She lied to the principal." And I'm just sitting there. And so, anyways, I said, "Look, we only have 2 weeks left of school. If we're going to go see him and he's coming toward us, everyone's to turn in line and go the opposite direction." And that's what we did for 2 weeks. He never talked to me. He never called me in. And my class and I avoided him like the dickens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, and then that's a story of rags. But, you know, and then I told the story at the Proctor's Theaters, which is the big, huge, where the Broadway plays are in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. Like, they come up from New York City. And so I invited him. They had a theater there, and I had a big crowd. And I asked Jimmy to come because he's 51 and two kids in college right now. I've always kept in touch with him. And I told the story, and then I said to everyone, now, this is a real story, because I had everyone laughing and whatever, and I now like to introduce you to Jimmy. And he came, and he had his hat and everything, his medals and everything on, and everyone went, oh! You could have heard, like, the gasps, like they couldn't believe this was the real Jimmy.
Wow.
Could you believe it? Yeah. So that's one, that's, and it's an act of kindness, and that's the one of my books I have. And
perfect.
I have all the pictures of the boat and the video of the boat and all that. And, you know, you can have pop-out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you can have, at the end, a CD put in of the boat he was on. And him and his buddies gave a talk to the class about the ship they were on.
Wow.
Is that cool?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is definitely, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know some publisher's going to want it.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely, once we're done with this project, I can definitely connect you with them if you want. And, I mean, you can take it over and see if that, how that works out.
Yeah, we could do it now, or I'm not paying. If within the next year, if I really become well-known, I don't feel I should be paying. But they will make a lot of good money if I'm well-known.
Right.
And I am already well known, but I want to be really well known because I don't have that.
Having a Wikipedia page, I mean, it is going to put you out there. So you are going to receive a lot more calls.
Good, because I'm broke. I just had a total knee replacement in this fall. I have to have this. I had an accident. I fell on my knees and then I fell my face.
That's
I broke
sorry.
My nose. I have my skull was broken open above my eyebrow, and I had a hematoma and I had a concussion and I had teeth damage and all that stuff. I have a lawyer too. But the cost is about 3 years, you know. So I'm not counting on. Hopefully, I'll be alive still. But you know, I just really, really was critically ill in the hospital for quite a while. So I finally. I've only had 8 operations this year. I only have one more to go, and that's or 2 more to go. The eyes are in March, and it's fall. I'm getting the other knee done, and that's it, I hope, you know? But I look nice now. If you would not recognize me from when I fell.
All right.
And I've lost 125 pounds total now.
Oh, wow. I mean, some consider it as a blessing in disguise, but to each their own.
Well, I mean, I lost 100 before the accident. Then they told me if the thinner I was, the better I would recover. So I lost another 25.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy at 100, but I still have 10 more to go. You know,
right.
If you look fatter on TV. I mean, I've done a lot of TV interviews. You look heavier when you're on TV, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I have some really funny stories to be in Colbert's store. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have a story done by Oprah Winfrey or somebody like that because they tried to take this away from me because I was only a third grade teacher who didn't have an administrative degree. Now I have a master's in administration, special ed, and you know what I mean? I mean,
right.
I've worked hard to show, you know, you can do it if you want it. You know, you can light a fire and only be a third grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can call the publishing company. They can call me, but it's getting late, and it's Friday. And I'm still trying to document and list all the document of pictures and magazines and all that, the date, the page, when it was published, et cetera, so that it's ready for you.
Perfect, perfect. So,
Responding this week because I have another project that somebody asked me to do, so I have to get this all done within the next week. I just can't, you know, if I stop, then I'll lose my concentration of where I am in the project.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, text me. I'll reach out to my buddies as well, and just text me once you're ready, and we'll start with the basic.
For the publishing, I'm talking, the books.
For the books, when would you like to start about that?
I would like to, I want to get everything done here, and then I will get everything ready for the publisher the week after I get it. I really have, the only thing that will be left after this weekend is people reading it for me and making sure every fact is correct that we can all remember. Mm-hmm. Remember, it wasn't just me who made STEM successful. It took all hundreds of people. We had our core board, and people came and go with our board, but we had a core group that stuck with us, and we worked with over 1,000 people, mentors and people just volunteering and everything. I mean, it was a big organization. It wasn't just one person who made it successful.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going online, I want them to make sure that everything is as accurate as we can have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to send a general email out of certain people and say, proofread it.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
I mean, wouldn't you do that?
I mean, yeah, definitely.
If it's going to be on the Internet, I don't want people saying, this is not true.
Mm-hmm. See, my suggestion would be to start with Wikipedia. That's because that's factually correct. So anyone can publish a book. Anyone can do that. So once you're out there, once your information is out there for people to see, then go ahead and publishing.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's why I said let's get this done first.
Perfect.
Then I can concentrate on the publishers. And, I tell the both of those stories. I tell that one, and I tell Charlie Toon of Hiccups is the other book.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just loves that one, too. How do you get rid of hiccups? Do you know that? How do you get rid of it?
I mean, for some, it's just bare shock value. Like if you just shock them out of nowhere. So.
Nope. There's a secret, and that's what the book tells the truth. This kid got the hiccups. You know,
right.
Interrupt.
I mean, some drink water. Some just.
Nope, that won't work.
So what's the secret?
Hands up in the air, bend your head. No. There was this little boy, and every day his name was Charlie, and they called him Charlie Tuna because there was no free lunch programs at that time and free breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Tuna, he was such a kind child that his mother would make him extra tuna fish sandwiches, and he'd look around the room at lunchtime, and he'd see who didn't have a lunch. Either they forgot it or most of the kids didn't have it because this was an inner-city school. Very poor kids were in my room. That's why I liked teaching there, to be honest. It was inner-city, and they were all poor. And so he would go around quietly and say, I have an extra tuna sandwich. Would you like one?
Uh-huh.
So everyone called him Charlie Tuna. And he and his mother would send him fruit and cookies, and he'd always look around and share to see, make sure no one was going to go hungry at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he interrupted the class with the hiccups, and one girl goes, put your hands above your head and hold your breath. And he did, and he hiccuped, and when he had to breathe, put your, bend down, this and that. And finally, he just couldn't stop. And I said, Charlie, go to the nurse and see if she can help you. So he goes to the nurse, and he tells her, why are you here? She says, I have the hiccups. So he goes, well, sit in line. You see the chair. You're going to be the last kid in line. You just wait your turn, and I'll see you. But, here's a piece of gum to chew until I get to talk to you. And Charlie thought that was weird because gum wasn't allowed in school. But he took the gum and he chewed it. And then it became his time to talk to the nurse.
Uh-huh.
And he comes and goes into her room and sits there. And she goes, okay, Charlie, what's wrong? He goes, I had the hiccups. She goes, good. You don't have your gum in your mouth? Yeah. Spit it out. He spits it out. He goes, Charlie, when you chew something in your mouth, that gets rid of hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait till I tell Miss Schwartz. She goes, okay. So Charlie goes down, and the door opens, and we were reading a story, and we all were quiet because it was an old school, 1920, and the floor would always crack and crinkle, when you walked on it. And we're all listening to see if Charlie still had the hiccups. Well, he didn't. And one little girl goes, why'd you get rid of your hiccups? And he said, well, I got gum. And he told us the story about the gum. I'm just, okay. Well, the next day, when we in the morning, you know, we're all sitting down, you know, and it was lunchtime, and he took out his normal tuna fish sandwiches or cookies or apples, and Charlie Tuna gave them to kids who he could see didn't have any food to eat, and he had an extra bag. And he says, "Ms. Schwartz, can I ask, say something?" Of course, everyone listened when he talked. He was very well-loved and kind. "Well," he goes, "my mother gave me this bag." And he takes it out, packages of gum. And he goes, "Ms. Schwartz, my mother thought you might like this in your drawer, so if someone in our class ever gets hiccups, you'll have a piece of gum to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Can we keep it in your drawer?" And I said, "Oh, shit," you know, to myself. I didn't, "What am I going to do? I'm not, gum's not allowed in school." He goes, "Okay." So the class was silent. You could have heard a pin drop. And that's one of my things I have in all my stories. And I said, "Well, now I know third graders have a hard time keeping secrets, but if you can keep a secret, I will put it in my bottom drawer. And if anyone gets the hiccups, I'll give them a piece of, you know,
gum.
Right. And chew, but they'll have to chew. I had told the kids, well, if anybody get hiccups from now on, I'll give you a piece of paper, and you'll chew on the paper, and when you get the hit rid of the hiccups, you can throw it away. So he said, my mama doesn't like the idea of chewing on a dirty piece of paper, so she bought us gum. That's what happened.
Right.
And so I said, I'll put it in my drawer in the back behind the June box, but no one better be pretending they have hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
And no one did pretend ever to have hiccups. And my kids kept the secret, which is hard for third graders.
Right.
Well, Jim, everyone knew about the gum, and they did tell their friends when they had me, "Oh, if you get the hiccups, remember, she has gum behind the June box to get rid of your hiccups." And then years later, guess who visited me from high school? Charlie Tuna.
Charlie. Wow.
And he said, "Ms. Schwartz, remember that when I got the hiccups?" And I said, "How could I forget?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, "Do you still have any gum left behind the June box?" I said, "I don't know. I don't think I've ever used it, Charlie." And I opened my drawer, and there behind the June box was the gum box for the hiccups. That's a true story.
I mean, wow.
Are you impressed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you definitely have a ton of stories to tell.
Yes, I have a ton of them. So that's why I want someone who's really, really, really going to be committed to working with me, because I'm very serious about this.
No, I'm definitely here for you, and we can definitely, so even the project manager, so they're there for you. So what happens is we go back and forth with you. Only once you're satisfied with everything, we go ahead and then send it for publishing.
Even though it's one price pays all.
Yes, one price pays it all. It's a one-time fee.
What are project managers? Are you a project manager?
No, I'm an administrator, so I will be working and supervising on your project. I will be working with you as well. So basically all of this work, compiling documents, compiling drafts, so that is taken care of by the project manager.
Okay. Hold on a second. I have a problem. I have a cat who's about to bite me if I don't feed him. Okay, I'm listening to you now. I'm ready. I'm just opening up the cat. Okay, so I'm going to talk to everyone, and I will try my best to finish this by Monday.
Perfect.
Okay? Or Tuesday, I'm hoping, and I'm going to send everything out, okay? And then sometime next week I will text you to talk to me.
Perfect. Perfect.
And meanwhile, I also have to see what I can do with money.
I mean, the basic package is $750. That's our basic, and that should cater to your needs. Just getting a Wikipedia page up there, I mean, I think you should start with that. Down the road, as you get famous, as you get more opportunities, you can always upgrade, and you can always get more features if you like.
Okay. That sounds good to me, but still, that's a lot of money. I mean, for some people, it's not a lot of money. But for me, it is. You know what I mean? So
I mean, maybe if all of the contributors that are there, we can mention their name as well. You all can pitch in and contribute, and I mean, all towards the same goal.
Right, right, and you know, we'll see what happens. You know,
perfect.
So I don't know how many of them are as passionate as I am right now, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not out for money. I'm out to say this is my legacy, and how dare they tell me. Put
mm-hmm.
that they're the first ones. It just enraged me. You know what I mean? They did, but the thing it is that they looked on the internet. They couldn't find me anyway, so they didn't know about
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really be upset with them in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, that makes sense.
Right. But now that I took storytelling up during the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I haven't been doing this all my life. I had these stories, but I never told anybody the stories.
No,
so
they're definitely worth listening to.
Yeah, and now I do international storytelling. I could tell 7 days a week, but I'm taking a break
mm-hmm.
to do this. And I had the surgery, the major surgery, so I just haven't had time to. I told a couple of news stories last week, and they liked them, but I'm just not going to go around the world yet and do them. the big one comes out. His name is Tony Tony something or other, I forget his name, but it's going to be, I think, the 25th or the 27th. You can go Talking Stories by Tony something. He's a London. He's ahead of it. And the woman works for him from New Zealand, interview the people. And to interview only one person a month, and I got picked. I feel very honored.
Mm-hmm. No, that is definitely good. So I guess we'll connect sometime next week, and we'll get this done.
I'm sorry I took you.
That's perfectly fine. No, that's perfectly fine.
This is the best conversation you've had with anybody wanting a WikiLeaks, right?
I mean, it is definitely. I mean, I had my fair share of experiences, but, yeah, definitely one of those.
Well, you can always just send me some for the fun of it. I'd love to hear about your experiences.
Definitely.
I almost got arrested in Jamaica once.
Oh, wow.
I wrote a book about it, Travel Troubleshooters.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get going, but I'll be real quick. I had a horrible experience of getting picked up at 7:30 instead of 5 in the afternoon. Stop it, David.
Uh-huh.
Mommy doesn't like that. My cat's doing something. And so we've got to the airport, long day, 3 o'clock, finally got on the plane that was supposed to take off at 8:30. And we're sitting in the – I was with my ex-boyfriend – and we're sitting in the front seat next to where the stewards are, and I hear the steward say, "These poor people, they've been waiting since 7:30 for this plane to go to New York City, and now we're not going to New York City. They tell us we're going to Jamaica because this plane has passengers. They sent the wrong plane, and this plane is supposed to pick up Jamaica people and bring them to New York, and they're going to have to stay a day or two until they find another plane to get them to New York." Well, I had had it. We were in a hangar, hot. No air condition. This is in the 70s, and no food, no water. One bathroom, one water fountain, and everyone had eaten all their snacks by then.
Huh.
And I had a headache, and I was a bat flying out of hell. And I stand up and I say, "Can I have everyone's attention?" And everyone got quiet in the plane. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a 60-minute investigative reporter I had talked to, and you got after all those times, you got to talk to a lot of the passengers, and he's looking at me like, "What the hell is this woman doing? Like, he's going down, get down." And I go, I have something to tell you. And I said, "I'm not getting off this plane." I said, and I told him the story. And then all of a sudden, the whole plane started shouting, "We won't get off the plane, we won't get off the plane." And all of a sudden, I felt like someone behind me. And there behind me was the captain. And I looked at him, and I looked at everyone. You could have heard a pin drop. There was silence on the plane. And I sat down, and the captain said, "Well, she's right. But we're going to only ask for volunteers to get off the plane, and the rest of you can go to New York. And I hope you all volunteer, because these people, too, have been waiting all day to get to New York. When we land, we'll find out who wants to volunteer." So we're all quiet, and my boyfriend says to me, don't get up again. You're going to get us arrested. I'll lose my doctor's license. You know, he goes, just keep your mouth shut. And I said, well, just look it. Pretend you don't know me. So we land, but while we're landing, all of a sudden on the runway, we see police cars with their red lights. We see an ambulance. Somebody must have been hurt or something. Mm-hmm. And you see a fire truck. Ooh, there must have been an accident of some type. And the plane lands, and it's the old days, so the stairs come down. And all of a sudden, my boyfriend says, you know, I think they're coming for you. Ha ha, he to the funny farm. And that's what I said again, pretend you don't know me. And they come, the police come, and the ambulance driver comes, and there's a fireman at the end of the stairs. And the pilot comes, and he meets him, he talks to him, and then he goes, okay, ladies and gentlemen. And they're standing behind him, and everyone's staring at me, that, you know, the policeman and the police. He goes, now, we'd like to have volunteers come, and we won't want to make you get off the plane, but we really want you all to get off again. Mm-hmm. So five people from the back of the plane get up, and they walk down the aisles, and everyone starts booing them, traitor, you know, stuff like that. I'm going, oh, my God. And he goes, okay, is anyone else that we can't, you know, going to volunteer? There was a sound. He goes, well, we can't let you off. Federal law says we have to clean the plane before we take off. We'll have to ask you to get off just to clean the plane. So what do? I go, I stand up and I go, no, you're going to get us off the planes and you might not let us on. I'm not getting off the plane still. I won't get off this plane. And everyone starts shouting again, we won't get off the plane. Well, the police and the captain, everyone got into a huddle. And I said, oh, my God, now I'm going to lose my teacher license for life. I'm going to get arrested and stuck in a Jamaican jail. And I said, okay, we don't want an international incident. And I said, of course, who speaks up again? Look, there's some big plastic bags where the stewards are. Why don't you just go up and down the aisles, collect the garbage, and call it a day and let us go to New York? And everyone shouts, yay! Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. And long story short, they did that. And the plane took off to New York. We had five people get on the plane. But do you think I was over? I was done with this problem yet? No. We're flying to New York, and I stand up, and what do you think I say? Can I have everyone's attention? And everyone's up. I'm the leader now of the plane, like my third grade voice.
Right.
So look at it. I live in Albany, New York, and that's where the is located, because
that's definitely.
I want everyone. If I'm going to send a paper around. I hear my teacher say, if you give me your name, address, stamps, or money for stamps. There was no internet, and long-distance phone calls cost a lot of money those days. I will write a letter to the Attorney General and tell them that this should never have happened and blah, 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 and I'll get back to you. Maybe we can get our money back. So I sent it around. Half an hour later, I had everyone.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Beverly. I'm getting another call. Is it all right if I put you on a brief hold?
Very brief.
Sure. Thomas, for holding. Are you there with me?
So the end of the story was I went to the Attorney General's office after school and met with him. And they
are you there with me, Beverly?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Another call. I have another client waiting for me.
I got everyone their money back. I went to them and they thought I was a lawyer. And I said, no, I'm only a third grade teacher. And one guy says, you have chutzpah. So anyways, long story short, I got everyone their money back.
Wow. So I have another client waiting for me on the other line.
Okay.
Is it all right? Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. You have a great rest of the day ahead. And
you too.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.